I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Friday, June 12th, 2020, and this is episode 72 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So this week's best thing is the return of Prim's Hood Cinema, which has quickly become my favorite YouTube channel. The channel owner, whose name is Moses Prim, does these hilarious reviews/recaps of Hood movies. I've talked about it before. It made an honorable mention, but this week it's the best thing because he had taken some time off. He had gotten his YouTube channel demonetized, and now he's fixed it. He's monetized again. He's making money. Good for him. I hope his brother gets paid because he's providing the content that I personally needed. And my husband called up. He's like, Prim has a new video. And so we had to watch it as soon as physically possible. And within 2 hours, it already had 20,000 views. So, the movie he did was Belly, which was one of the ones I was so eager for him to do. And if you haven't seen the movie Belly from 1998, Hype Williams' directorial debut, I think it's the only movie Hype Williams has ever directed because I don't think they let him make another one after that. I don't recommend you see it if you haven't. It's not something that I would say go do. Please, please be aware of that. But if you already know Belly, then it is ripe for send up because it is a fantastically horrible movie that is also sort of, I don't call it a guilty pleasure, but it stars Nas and DMX. Method Man is in it. T-Boz is in it. And it is just a classic. I don't know if it's classic anything, actually. How do you describe Belly? I'm not going to try. But if you would like a recap of it, full of humor and profanity, then definitely check out Prim's Hood Cinema review. I support him on Patreon. I have since the very first video that I watched of his. It's money well spent. And if you are a Patreon supporter, he just did a a review of a new edition video of Cool It Now, which is also highly recommended. But you do have to give him some money. So anyway, that brought me some joy amidst the current happenings. And I'm just glad that he's back and hopefully his days. Hopefully he's able to continue putting out content regularly. Because it's bringing so many people so much joy. So, my writing update. First, let's talk about the creative pen, because these ideas go hand in hand. Last week on the creative pen, she interviewed someone about creativity and artificial intelligence. And it was a good interview. Joanna Penn is a futurist. She's really into AI. She's really positive about things that I find scary and terrifying about artificial intelligence creating, books and music and doing audiobooks and things like that. But I do appreciate her perspective and her positivity on that. But there was a concept that really resonated with me that they talked about called mental crop rotation. And that was the idea that with creative projects, sometimes you need to, in the same way that farmers and crops, and keep in mind, I know nothing about farmers and crops. I know nothing about my own garden because that's my husband's domain. I don't go out there that much because there are bees and bugs. But you plant something 1 year and then the next year you have to let that field rest. And then you use a different field the next year. And then you come back at some point in the future to that initial field. That's the basics of it. Creatively, sometimes you have to step away from projects for a mental break. And that is my writing update. I continue to struggle with my manuscript, the Portal Fantasy. And if you've been listening in the past few weeks and months, you'll remember, this is not going to be a surprise to you. I've just gone through a lot with it. And I pulled out my StoryForge cards and I was doing another spread. So if you are new, these are sort of like tarot cards, but they have a lot of different ideas that you can use to jumpstart your creativity about a certain problem or just an idea, a plot, a character, what have you. And I did a spread and I got some really interesting ideas from it. But at a certain point, I was just sitting there and I was like, maybe I just need a mental crop rotation. I am not the type of person who likes to quit. I don't like to admit defeat, ever. It's very disappointing. But I do recognize that I'm sort of hitting my head against a wall with this. And this is not the first time that that's happened. It's very similar to what happened with the third Angel book. So my other series, my paranormal romance series, Angelborn, has two books, and there might only ever be two books. Like, I had ideas for a third book, and they both stand alone, so there's not like a cliffhanger where you're like, hey, where's the third book? I just had planned a third and potentially a fourth book in that series. And, you know, I started it many years ago. I've gone back to it several times over the past few years. And it's kind of a similar thing with this portal fantasy. And with both of them, when I started writing it and I had multiple openings, I had multiple ways into the story. The story was always the same. I couldn't decide. I liked them all. Sometimes, I think with Angel, there were three or four. I love those stories. People who have read them really like both of them. Parts of both of them. But I couldn't decide. I couldn't get my way in for whatever reason. And then I had to take, you know, a couple of years off to work on my contracted books and coming back to them. I came back to the Angel books. I've come back to this one and I can't, for whatever reason, I just can't push forward. And the thing is, I mean, I could, you know, if my agent was like, yes, you must finish this. And I know these people to send it to, or if someone, you know, read it and bought it on proposal, like if I had a deadline, if I had a contract, I would finish it. No questions asked. Like, that's just how I work. With the Angel book, that's self-published, so that's never going to happen. With the Portal Fantasy, my agent has seen it twice a few years ago and had feedback both times. She's seen the first 100 pages twice. And it still wasn't quite there for her. And I don't know. I wonder if it's the time in between. Like, I'm just different now than I was 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. And I can't latch on to the thing that was driving me when I was initially doing it. Or the fact that I struggled and came at it from different ways and couldn't decide on the right way and still can't. That had me thinking that maybe it's just that time thing. Like, I just can't work on a project that I sat aside for 4 years. But the Cupid books, or the stories, I should say, because they're short stories, were like that. And I managed to finish them because somebody wanted them. So I had started. So there's four that I published in the Cupid Guild series. And I had started all four of them even longer ago. Like, these predated some of them. The Cupid mix-up, the first story, predated Song of Blood and Stone. I remember showing that story to my critique group in 2013, I think. I think it was before I even started writing Song of Blood and Stone. And then the other ones came about through just ideas came to me. I would write some, a few thousand words and leave it alone, like never finish it. And so then because they were originally published in a magazine, in Heart's Kiss magazine, the editors came to me and were like, hey, we want you to submit to our romance magazine. Do you have any romance short stories? I was like, oh, I've got a couple that I haven't finished. I could look at them. So it wasn't like they were contracted, but it was like, hey, I would like to see this thing from you. And I was like, oh, okay. It was that little bit of pressure that had me look at those stories. I was like, oh, I could finish these. And finished them, write them, they published them. And I think they're cute. I mean, they're not perfect by any means. I'm sure they're very flawed, but I really enjoy them. I think they're adorable and I'm proud of them, you know. But yeah, I think it was having that push. And that is really tough. Someone asked if, you know, I could have my agent push me, and I could try to do that, but I love my agent. She's wonderful. She's not a pusher like that. She's always like, no pressure, no pressure. And I was like, well, I could use some pressure. I don't mind pressure. Pressure works for me, you know, but it's different. It's not like there's a guarantee. And there was not necessarily a guarantee that the magazine editors would publish it, you know, but it felt more like a guarantee than not. So where I am right now is I'm going to take a break from it. We're coming up on the time in my schedule where I'm supposed to be working on the short story that I'm going to do, and which is like an extra epilogue for Cry of Metal and Bone. So we're about 2 months away from the release of that book, Ursinger Chronicles Book 3. And as part of a pre-order campaign, which I'm still working out in my head, I wanted to do a short story. It's basically the an extra epilogue, but it ties up the story of the second novella, Hush of Storm and Sorrow. So, you know, in that novella, which ideally you read before Cry of Metal and Bone, we have the story. These characters end up separated physically at the end of that story, much like different characters end up physically separated at the end of Whispers of Shadow and Flame. Everybody comes back together in Cry, kind of. If you read Hush, the short story will take those characters and give you their happily ever after. And I haven't even really conceived of it yet. I think it's going to be probably about 10,000 words, but I do have to figure out, like, I have no idea what is going to happen in that. I just know they're going to get back together and have their happily ever after. And I'm really feeling like before I hit the ground running with this revision of Requiem in July that I'm going to start, I need to read all of the books again, which I'm not looking forward to. I'm absolutely not looking forward to reading books I can't change and seeing things that I'm like, this has been in this published book this whole time. I wish that I could just listen to the audiobooks, and I can do that for Whispers, but for Song, the audiobook is still the original version. It does not include the new material from the special edition, which is super disappointing. And maybe I could just listen to it and then read the extra chapters that I added for the special edition separately. I think it will be a little bit easier on me to listen to Allison Johnson, my narrator, her wonderful voice and her interpretation of the books. Then I'll just have to physically read the novellas, which are short, and then get back to the revision of Requiem. And as for new things, I think I will have to just try writing something new, something brand new, not one of the things that that's been sitting around, and see if that works better. I remember reading about John Green, and after he had written The Fault in Our Stars, and I guess after he'd had the huge success with that book, I remember seeing that he had said he wasn't sure if he was going to write another book, if he had another book in him. He didn't feel like he did at that point, and he just wasn't certain. Now, of course, he ended up writing another book, at least one, probably more by now. But I understand the sentiment, you know? Sometimes you feel broken as a writer. I kind of feel broken. And I felt broken before. Sometimes you feel empty. I feel like I haven't written a non-Earthsinger full-length book since I signed the publishing contract. I've never written a non-Earthsinger full-length book, actually, even indie published. And right about now, it's like, can I ever do that? I know I can. I believe I can. But at this point in time, like this moment that I'm in, it's rough, you know. So I will do my mental crop rotation, which I guess is going back to Earthsinger, and work on something new, something brand new, and see how that goes. I'm definitely not the kind of writer that can write to the market. Sometimes I feel like the market has gotten into my head. You know, like you put something out and it's not an instant, you know, best-selling success. And you're like, well, what does it take to do that? And that can get in your head too. And nobody knows what it takes. It takes luck to do that. It takes, you know, hard work and good writing. Often good writing, not all the time good writing, but all the time luck. There's definitely a combination of factors at play in what is keeping me back. And I might not ever be able to identify all of them, but I do need to move forward in some kind of way. And one of the things I think will be helpful is to go back to a technique that I have used before successfully, which is sort of a version of Morning Pages. So The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron is a very well-known book. I have it. I don't actually think I've read the whole thing. I've read pieces of it. But there's a website that I use that it's called 750words.com. And it used to be free. I'm grandfathered in because I've been a member of that site for 10 years. I looked it up. But now it's $5 a month. And it's just sort of an online place to write 750 words a day. And obviously you can do this anywhere. You can do this in Word. You can do this on Google Docs. I like the website because it comes with these very cool text analyses of what you've written. And there's charts and graphs about the emotions that you were probably feeling when you were writing based on the words. I'll put a screenshot of that in the show notes because it's pretty fun. There's other features of the site, like you get badges for the streaks, like if you run right 10 days in a row or 30 days in a row. And I've done 30-day in a row challenges. I've done all of NaNoWriMo inside of 750words.com, so I could get the 30-day badge. When I'm doing it, it's just like write whatever you want. So whether that's stream of consciousness, like a diary, just nonfiction of what I'm thinking about at that moment, or if I have a kernel of a story idea and just write and see where it goes. It's great for that, just letting your creativity run wild. And I have started logging into that and just doing stream of consciousness stuff. But several of the Cupid Guild short stories came out of pieces of ideas that I had and just started writing for my 750 words when I was trying to do some kind of streak. And I think I might go back to that. I mean, I have for a couple of days, not in a row. I'm thinking of joining the July challenge. So every month it's like, hey, write your name on this list and challenge yourself to do this every single day. I respond well to challenges, even if it's just signing up my name on a list and nobody's actually even checking but me. But if I do the challenge, I get a badge. Gamify your life, basically. Try to trick your brain into doing things that you really want to do, but are not quite disciplined enough to do without the lure. I don't know if I'm going to do the July challenge because they are really hard. I mean, I've only ever succeeded a couple of times in doing a full 30-day challenge because inevitably, if I don't write in the morning, I'm like, I'll do it in the evening. And it'll be like 11:59 and I'll realize I didn't do it and I'll have lost at that point. I'll have missed the day. So might be a good kick in the pants. We'll see what happens. But even if I don't do like a 30-day in a row thing, just incorporating it sometimes when I'm feeling like, I need to write something. I'm crop rotating. I don't know what I'm writing. Let me just write something, stream of consciousness, and see if anything comes out of it, you know. And it's actually really fun to kind of go look back in the archives and see the little snippets of story ideas, the little flash fiction pieces that I have done over the years. And maybe they'll spark something too. So yeah, my goal for the next week, I want to do my third quarter planning. And that's something that we're going to work on this weekend in my mastermind. And third quarter planning, partially using Sarah Cannon's HB90 method, which I think our class is starting up very soon. If it is still able to be registered for, I will put a link to it in the show notes because that class did help me a lot. I ordered a new planner, which actually just came. So I'm using the, after years of bullet journals and then printing my own, creating my own planning system and doing that every week, I've been using the Agendio and it's been working out really well. So I have I did the first 6 months of 2020 in my planner and I just got the July through December version, which is basically the same thing. I changed the cover up a little bit and I'm using the same layout because it's not perfect, but it's working pretty well. And so that came in time because last time I did it too late and I didn't get it till like the middle of January, which was fine, but I planned ahead this time and I got it and it's lovely. So guys, goals, quarter three planning, brainstorming for the short story, rereading/listening to all of the current entries in the Earthsinger Chronicles in preparation for starting the revision in July and doing some brainstorming on the next story. I think I'm going to go back to my heist idea and see if I can flesh that out into an actual story that is more than heist. That's all I got right now. So I hope that you have a wonderful week and are able to read some really wonderful things. What am I reading? I started a couple books. I'm not ready to recommend anything yet, but we'll see what happens when I finish them. I'm trying to read some new stuff. It is still hard, but I'm sampling a lot of different authors that are new to me. So hopefully I'll have an enthusiastic recommendation soon. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. I would really love a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.